Today on Real Radio.
The reason why Christmas is so offensive to some people is because they are terrified it might be true. That's why they make so much noise.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his special series we're bringing you all this week called Unstoppable Christmas. It's a challenge focused primarily on some of the new brand of atheist groups that seem to get some degree of attention, especially this time of the year. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his series called Unstoppable Christmas.
The Messiah of Israel, the Messiah of the world, by the way, it says there too that he's eternal. So, boy, King, do you have troubles coming? The one born in Bethlehem is eternal. He's going to be born of a virgin, but he's going to be the eternally born one. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. We'll see this in future studies. And that was offensive to him. And I want to put this forward to you. Why would Christmas be offensive to you? Because, listen, it threatens your ego. It threatens the worldview that you've established. But I'd like to just get your early morning off to a good start this morning. If you're offended by Christmas, why don't you deal with it? Take a pill, take a drink, take a drive. But listen, you can't stop Christmas. It's unstoppable. Oh, no, we're going to outlaw it. Go ahead. You think we're going to stop? Oh, we're gonna replace green and red with purple and blue. Doesn't matter. Whatever color you pick, we're going to assign it to our Lord because he made the colors of the rainbow. What else do you want to do? I mean, I'm dead serious. I want you to think about that, Christian, and I want you to think about that non-Christian. Why does it bother you so much? What harm is it to you? The truth of the matter is, deep down inside, you fear that it's true. That's why you're freaking out. It's gnawing on you. It's nagging upon you. This day, born in the city of David, is Christ the Lord, the Savior. And that Savior implies to us an offensive thought because it means that we need to be rescued from something. I'm not telling you yet what that is, but it implies that you need to be rescued from that something. But here it comes. You see, the thought of God interrupting our party here on earth is unthinkable. That God would invade us, disrupt everything, turn the card over, as it were. That's right. Why? He already told us why. Because he loves us. He loves us. Listen, again, I'm sorry to be sarcastic. Many of you, most, maybe all of you, you just don't yell at us like this. I know, but be with me on this. I wish I was talking to, a couple thousand non-believers. That would be one of the answered joys of my life, seriously. He came to rescue us and to save us, says God, in his word, both Old and New Testament. But why? And here, I believe, is the single most offensive truth to Christmas, that if someone thinks about it for just a bit, this reality comes to mind. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All have sinned. Every one of us, look at me. Look, you're looking at a sinner. I'm even dressed in black today. I mean, I got blue pants on, but I got black. I got a black shirt on. Think about black, the color of sin. It looks like a lot of you are sinners this morning as I look around. There's a couple of holy ones in here wearing red. That's awesome. We've all sinned, every one of us. You say, well, not me, because I don't believe in sin. Oh, you've sinned. Oh, you've sinned. No one can escape the truth of God. We've all sinned. And listen, you may be very confident that there is no God, and yet you will actually agree with me, if you think about it, that you have sinned, even if you don't believe in God. How can I sin if I don't believe in God? Because you have even failed to keep the moral standard that you yourself can apply to life. You have failed the perfections that you've established. My question is, where did you get those thoughts of morality? But from the God who created you. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 tells us in the New Living, we all, It says we are all inflicted and impure with sin. I like to put it this way. We're all S-I-N positive. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. I can't tell you what the meaning of filthy rags is here. Look it up later. It's not nice. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. Is that not graphic? Very graphic. So, Jack, are you telling me that I need the Christ of Christmas, I need this unstoppable Christmas, because I need saving, I need salvation? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. And you're going to agree with me right now if you're intellectually honest. Number one, what does the Bible say? I'm not asking you to believe it. I'm just saying, what does the Bible say about you and I? That's right. I gave you the answer the moment ago. That we're lost, we're separated from God by sin. So number one, believe it or not, the Bible says we are separated from God because of our sins. You say, I don't believe it. Just hang on. Is there evidence to prove that we are separated from God? You say, I don't believe in God. Well, just hang on and play with me for a moment. If there is a moral standard given, let's say it's the Ten Commandments, God gives them, and man goes against them. By the way, did you know that it is the preeminent still today moral code in all civilizations around the world, wherever it exists? The Ten Commandments. It tells you about righteousness. And listen, if you're an atheist today or an agnostic or an unbeliever, and if I asked you, is it right to murder? You would say no. You would say no to that. And by you saying no to that, you are actually, listen, by virtue of Origins, you are confessing to my God's existence. Think of it. Do you think it's right for your neighbor to walk into your home after you leave for work and have your wife? Where'd you get that idea from? God. And everybody knows it's wrong to do. That came from God. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or husband. Think of that for a moment. I want you to think about your awareness of right and wrong. Just let that settle in for a moment. Your ability to judge and to possess that morality. Next, I want you to think about how you cope. Listen to this. How do you cope or deal with the solution in your life for guilt? Did you know that every human being, don't let somebody tell you otherwise, every human being battles with guilt? Did you know that? Every human being does. A child does. Look, I've seen dogs deal with guilt. Now, I've got a Yorkshire Terrier. She is so either so confident in Christ or she is so lost and arrogant. I don't know which one it is. Because she can do it. She can do a terrible sin and look right at me and it's no problem. She knows I love her anyway. But my next door neighbor, they have a chocolate lab. And if he does something wrong and you look at him, you don't have to say anything. He starts looking left and right, left and right, left and right. He starts, and it's, I mean, he's so guilty. It's like amazing. Cats, they're from hell. Cats, have you ever seen a cat look at you and like, oh no, I'm sorry. They can have the bird, they can have your canary in their mouth and it's like, what of it? Right? Don't write me about cats. It was just an illustration. How do you cope with guilt? Everybody has to cope with guilt. How do you do it? If you don't believe in God, how do you cope with guilt? I want to suggest to you that the Christ of Christmas came to set you free from guilt. I remember, you know what? I haven't been guilty. It's been over 38 years since I've been guilty. Woo! That's freedom, my friend. Wow, where the hell did that happen? Jesus. That's how it happened. Jesus. When you encounter him, he lifts that shame and that guilt from you. If you don't have Jesus, you have a tendency to consciously or unconsciously deal with guilt and shame. It could be drugs. It could be violence, temper. It could be drinking. It could be whatever. But a human being created in the image of God will deal with the sin guilt until Christ is allowed to take it away. That's one of the great proof positives that once you become a Christian, somebody says, oh, I don't believe in God. Let me tell you right now, Mr. Atheist, you're not rattling us. You're not rattling us at all. We pity you, actually, because we want you to have what we have. Because we've been so convinced, not by trickery, but by experience. He took away our guilt.
Well, I don't believe in God.
Oh, you know what? That's your problem. Go ahead and grab a bottle of Jim Beam and have it suck life right out of you. As for us, we're going to praise the Lord. Why don't you think about trying that? Romans chapter 3, verse 19 says, now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. Stop right there for a moment. If you're not a Christian, you're under the law. If you're not saved by Jesus Christ, you're still under the law. That every mouth might be stopped. And all the world may become what? Guilty before God. That's why the law was given. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Why can't I be justified in front of God by keeping the law? Answer, because the law is what shows you that you're a sinner. You say, I don't get it. Yes, you do. Before you show up to start performing for God, you're already knowledgeable of the law. That makes you guilty. How can you start off contaminated and become pure? I can't. You can't. I'm going to reform my life. No, you can't. Because you start with an impurity. Are you with me? My question to you is, how are you going to change your impurity? How are you going to experience a new life? You must experience not only, listen, a profound change, I suggest, based on Bible doctrine, you must experience a death and resurrection of the Spirit. And Jesus talked about that, calling it being born again. Next, I want you to think about what possible remedy for sin has worked for you thus far. Have you gotten away from your guilt? Have you gotten away from your shame? Have you gotten away from the fear of the existence of God? You have not. We all know that. You have not. Next, the reason why Christmas is so offensive to some people is because they are terrified it might be true. That's why they make so much noise. They're like a crying baby who's got to eat their broccoli. Believe me, eventually, it may take 7 years or 27 years, but you're going to someday eat broccoli. It's going to happen. You say, well, what do you say? Are you saying you're going to make me be a believer? Oh, no, 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 no. No, you're going to make yourself be a believer someday, even if you wind up in hell. There's a lot of believers in hell today. Let's get this under our belt right now. People, Adolf Hitler, for example, has perfect theology. He knows exactly who Jesus is. Have you thought about that? There's people in hell saying, man, I wish I would have listened when I was on earth. And there's people that want to outlaw Christmas. Christmas and the message of Christmas, I like to put it this way. In fact, I did put it this way. It's in my notes. I'm reading it. Christmas and the message of Christmas is an invasion. I like that. It is an advent. It's a revelation to mankind. Wow! Christmas is an invasion. That little baby born in Bethlehem, he may have had diapers on, but he brought not only a revelation, he brought a revolution. He, living his life 33 and a quarter years, fulfilling the demands of God's perfect law, would not only satisfy the demands of the law, but then he would mount that brutal cross and die in our place where we were supposed to die. In a sense, he said, Jack, stand back. You believe me. That cross will kill you. But after it kills you, you have no power to raise yourself from the dead. I, on the other hand, I'm going to go to that cross, take the pain and suffering for you. But listen, I can't totally die. I will die in the flesh, but I can't die in the spirit. I'm Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I am perfect. So I have come to take care of your imperfection, of your sinful state. And not only that, I'm going to pay the mortgage that you owe to the holy righteousness of God, which you could never pay. You're so underwater in your payment to God, Jack. You're so upside down. You could never do it. I'll do it. And Jesus goes to the cross. That was the mission of that baby at Christmas. I want to show you a video clip this week. You probably saw it. Put your eyes to the screens if you would.
Unresolved problem segment tonight. Every Christmas season, there are people who try to diminish the celebration of Jesus' birthday. We all know it. We do have a whole bunch of war on Christmas deniers who say that I and others are making the whole thing up. Well, here's the first evidence this year. A billboard put up by an atheist group telling children to skip church on Christmas Day. Nice, right? Billboards are run in a number of states.
A lot of atheists feel alienated at this time of year, and we want them to know that they're not alone and that it's okay to admit and that there's no God and to be open about that.
Joining us now from Boston, psychotherapist Karen Ruskin, who is agnostic. I cannot understand for the life of me why anyone would bother trying to diminish the federal holiday of Christmas, doctor. Why do they do it?
Here's why. When you feel like you are in the minority, you experience the desire to try and push to sell your product, if you will, to sell your belief in a loud way to others in order to make yourself feel better, to validate your view, to make sure others hear you.
I don't, you know, but it's so counterproductive if you look at it just from an objective point of view. Putting up a sign like this just makes people angry with you, all right, because they feel they're being insulted, and they are. It's an insulting sign, is it not?
It's horrifically insulting. It's really disrespectful, but not unlike the bully who tries to push other people down in order to make themselves feel better. That's what's happening here.
So your theory is that atheists don't feel very good about themselves because they don't believe in the deity?
Well, no. Not all atheists are as nasty as what's happening here. Some atheists have a true belief that there is no God, and they feel very comfortable with that. But there are others who have a very uncomfortable belief about it. They feel the need to push others down, and that's the group that you're seeing here, a group of people all coming together in a gang-like format in order to push other people down. But not all atheists are like that.
Hey, I would say this. If the guys who are making the noise with the billboards and saying, we feel alienated. Did you hear him? He's an atheist. We feel alienated at this season. Number one, they're atheists. There is no season. Your premise is already broken from the beginning. What season are you talking about? It's Christmas. No, it's not, because you don't believe in it. Are you with me on that? We have become so palatable, so menial, so terrified and mealy-mouthed as a church that we hear guys like that and we start thinking, you know, we really need to think about their feelings. No, we don't need to think about their feelings one moment. We need to stand and celebrate the fact that God came into the world, and that's going to cause them to really be uneasy. And don't you remember how you came to Christ? You felt uneasy. You felt like you needed Jesus because it was made very clear to you. People can't handle that. And so this is what's going on in the world around us. Don't let the world get away with it. They make all the noise because they don't have truth. They get all excited about it because they're terrified. Let the truth speak. Next, we see that salvation is exclusive. I love this. Exclusive, but why is it exclusive? And I wrote this note to myself, thinking about you out there. Okay, Pastor, first you insult me by telling me that I need to be saved, and now you're telling me that there's only one way to be saved. That's exactly what I'm telling you. That's exactly correct. According to the Bible, unstoppable Christmas means this, that salvation is exclusive. No, listen, no religious founder in the history of mankind had a book pre-prepared in advance, written by many authors who some of them never knew or met one another on different continents, mind you, spanning 1,500 years talking about one person. You ever think about that? The Bible, hello, the Bible's all about Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation. It's all about him. And you see that when you study the names of God. Muhammad cannot say that. Buddha cannot say this. Joseph Smith cannot say this. Nobody can say it. Jesus is the only one. He's the only one. He is exclusively your Savior. Exclusively. There is no other. I can't believe I'm hearing this. In the 21st century, you're such a bigot. You're so narrow-minded. You're so, what? Tell me. I didn't make up the rule. Jesus said, I am the way. Definite article. The way. The truth. The life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. Jesus said this. Don't fight him. Don't fight him. Resist. Listen. No. Refuse. No. To your own peril. Accept him. Salvation is exclusive. So listen. What comes to mind, your mind, when you think of salvation being exclusive? You see, well, I disagree with that, somebody will say. There's basically four areas of rebuttal that people give. Are you ready? Here they are in order. Number one, people say, all roads lead to God. Okay, technically, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 does say that is true. Revelation does say everybody will stand before God in the end. It does say that. It says the books are open, they're judged out of those things written in the book, and then they're all cast into hell. So you're right. The Bible says all roads do lead to God. You just need to keep reading a little bit. It's what happens after you meet him. If you don't have Jesus as your attorney, your Savior in heaven, it ain't going to go good. You need, listen, just like that Orion spacecraft came in back to our atmosphere with the most high-tech, never-before-developed heat shield from the elements, you need Jesus Christ to be the one that saves you from the element of God's holy, holy righteousness. Because he's pure. It's impossible for him to hate. He is love. So the only reason why a person would not make it to heaven is because you refuse the Christmas gift. Jesus, his salvation that he brings. Number two, somebody would say in popularity, that it doesn't matter so long as you're sincere. Really? I'm not even going to talk about that one. Third, that so long as you do good deeds that outweigh your bad deeds. You ever hear that one? The Bible says no way. Fourth and final one, this could be tricky if you're not paying attention. All you have to do is just believe in Jesus. There's a lot of people running around today saying, I believe in Jesus. They're no different than the world. No change in their life. What they're actually saying is, I believe that Jesus was a historical figure, but there is no way that he's the Lord of my life because I call the shots in what I want to do.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a presentation called Unstoppable Christmas. It's part of a series of special programs we're presenting this week, commemorating the holiday that celebrates the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll continue with more of Unstoppable Christmas on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now listen, if Real Radio is part of your day and you're listening and you're learning and growing as a result, why not let Pastor Jack know? Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and then click Contact Us, and the rest is real easy. Or if you'd like, you can send Pastor Jack a letter. Send it to Real Life with Jack Hibbs, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info, including our phone number, can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.